Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. There are few who can claim they were raised in a perfect home environment. Although most of us have at least some pleasant childhood memories, almost all of us experienced adverse events and circumstances that haunt us later in life. Extreme negative influences such as addiction, abuse, and poor parenting can mar our perception of the world, our behavior within society, and our relationships long after we move into adulthood. My guest today, Tammy Kennington, is a writer, speaker, and child abuse awareness advocate. Familiar with the impact of trauma, mental illness, and parenting in the hard places, Tammy strives to lead women toward a deeper understanding of themselves and their relationship with the God who loves them. An ACEs master trainer, Tammy will soon be certified in clinical trauma and is also pursuing coaching certification. Her work has been featured by MOPS, Thriving Family, The Upper Room, Light from the Word, and several other publications. Tammy is the author of Moving from Pain to Peace, A Journey Toward Hope When the Past Holds You Captive. Good morning and welcome to the show, Tammy.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. And I think first question I'd like to ask you, Tammy, is I'd like to kind of start from the beginning. What childhood influences led you to the person you are today as a writer, a speaker, and as a Christian? Did you grow up in a Christian home or not so much? And give us a little bit of an overview of where it all began for you.
Sure. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My mom was had a belief in God, but she and my father had divorced when I was four. They had been teenage parents. And shortly after their divorce, my mother remarried, and the man who she had remarried was a very violent, abusive man who was an alcoholic. And so it was not a Christian home at all. There were times, oddly, when I would be drawn to or taken to church here and there. Once in a while, my stepfather would have something compelling him to go to church. Often it was with family, extended family members, and he would do that for a time, and then everything we were experiencing at home would take precedence. My mom did read a children's Bible storybook to me on occasion, and I loved it, but not being tutored in the things of Christ as a young child or discipled in any way. It's interesting because even as a very little girl, one of the few times I attended church, a Sunday school teacher shared the gospel of Christ. And at the age I was about five, I might have been six, right in there, I invited Christ into my heart. And I yearned for a daddy to love me. I missed my own father. He was no longer part of my life. And I knew that a daddy would love his children, and I knew I needed Jesus to be that daddy to me. And then when I was around second grade, I discovered my great-grandmother's Bible in just a closet, and I began reading it. It was a King James Version.
And, oh, my.
Yes, yeah. And I was just drawn to Jesus, and I think in his mercy, he made himself known to me, even though I didn't know very much about him. I knew enough to know I needed him.
It was like he kind of gave you that insight, even at that young age, to be able to have at your level an understanding, enough of an understanding that you wanted to learn more.
Yes. Yeah, it's really remarkable when you think about it, because my home was far from Christ in about every way I could imagine. So that was a huge influence. I don't even remember the face of that Sunday school teacher, but someday I am looking forward to thanking her for introducing me to Jesus. So she was very instrumental. And then other people that God put into my life along the way were friends, the parents of some of my friends who really just family and discipled me and invited me to attend youth group with their daughter. And then I had a great youth pastor and his wife who spoke into my life a lot of truth and encouragement. And this was all in a very small town. There were only about 200 people in the town. So it's really interesting to see how God used people within that small town just to really show me what it means to have faith and what Jesus can do. Yeah. So does that answer your question?
It sure does. And boy, you talk about small town. I always joke with people here on the show that I come from a small town and we're looking at maybe 2,500 people.
Yes.
200, it's like, okay.
Yeah, pretty, you know, when you drive around that little town, everyone knows everyone and their entire family history. So.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, and even where I first started working out here, it was a VA hospital, and it didn't take me long to learn. And even with the amount of people that we have, it didn't take me long to learn that you really don't talk about anybody because everybody's related to everybody.
Exactly. My town's so small. There's only one. There's not even a stoplight. We have a couple stop signs, and it's not even on the map.
Oh my goodness. And here people are shocked when I tell them that we have one fast food restaurant in our town and it's a Dairy Queen.
Yes.
People are like, I walk out the door, there's six restaurants right down the street from me. It's like, no.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is. And what, if you don't mind, what part of the country is it that you came from, Tammy?
I grew up in Montana.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yes. Well, then that is understandable. Sure.
Yes.
Well, I'm here
in
Colorado, but I'm in southeastern Colorado. So when I say Colorado, people think Denver. And no, I'm about as far away from Denver as you can get and still be in the state. So.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
that's
Tammy,
true.
As we said in the introduction to the show this morning, many of us have experienced some kind of a adverse childhood experience, from dysfunctional family issues caused by addictions, lack of strong parenting skills, workaholic parents, to extreme forms of traumatic abuse. So there's a whole spectrum there. How do these interactions affect a child throughout adulthood?
There have been some incredible studies done. The initial ACEs study, or Adverse Childhood Experiences study, was led by Kaiser Permanente in conjunction with a couple of incredible doctors who began recognizing that there is an incredible impact of those experiences on children as they age into adulthood. And so what they did was they began seeing that there were a lot of diseases associated with, and when there is an increase of these adverse childhood experiences, there's an increase in autoimmune disorders, things like diabetes. There are a lot more mental health disorders associated with increased ACEs in childhood. And these might be everything from depression and anxiety to other related issues, including increased involvement with alcohol, other self-numbing agents. There's more frequency of smoking, drug abuse, heart failure. It's just incredible, Patty. Even the lifespan tends to be shorter for those who have experienced multiple ACEs than those who have not. And the ACEs include a range of, they're under such headings as abuse, whether that's emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse, alcoholism within the family, incarceration of a family member. So there's a range of experiences. And oftentimes when a child has more than one experience, they're going to experience multiple ACEs in their lives. The chances that they'll experience sexual violence later in life increases if they have experienced abuse as children. It has a tremendous impact on the future of these children as they enter into adulthood. Obesity was actually one of the trademark characteristics that Dr. Folletti and Anda noticed among their patients that they were studying, and they noticed that these women who were struggling with extreme obesity had something in common, and that was adverse childhood experiences. And that recognition and realization is what led them to the in-depth study of other adverse childhood experiences and finding out what other links there were to those particular issues in their lives.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
It is. It's incredible.
That obesity was often a symptom of a troubled childhood in one respect or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that amazing? And of course,
yeah,
I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Doesn't say that everyone who is obese had a horrible childhood.
Right.
It can be a contributing factor for sure. Wow.
Yes, there's a strong correlation.
Mm-hmm. Well, PTSD, or for those who don't know that terminology, post-traumatic stress disorder, TAMI, used to be associated with soldiers who had experienced horrors of war back in the day. It was probably labeled, if I'm correct, battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
However, this mental disorder is no longer limited to that type of exposure. So talk to us about some of the types of events that trigger PTSD and the symptoms that are manifested from that.
Sure. So you're right. PTSD is often associated with veterans. And what's interesting, though, is that people who have experienced childhood sexual abuse, particularly over a long period of time, or those who've experienced sexual assault or rape, are also at high risk for developing PTSD. There are, while it's not everybody who experiences trauma will develop PTSD, there is a significant number of the population who will and does. About 50% of the people who are in mental health institutions seeking help also struggle with PTSD. PTSD itself has a range of symptoms, and to fit what the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual requires, you have to fit within a specific profile and have certain characteristics. And those include having experienced trauma in which you felt as if you could possibly die, and your body, your mind was overwhelmed by it. You could not process it, really. And as a result, if people experience these symptoms 6 months or longer, then they're going to be identified as having post-traumatic stress disorder. And the thing I want to emphasize for people is that when or if someone's identified as having post-traumatic stress disorder, it is a way of the brain's having responded to a trauma that was out of your control. And it's not so much a disorder as much as it is the brain's way of responding. And so there's really not any shame in the way your brain has responded and adapted. It actually was a way of helping you survive. So let me explain. So people who experience symptoms of PTSD will struggle with things like hypervigilance. They are going to be on edge. They are going to be, for example, fearful. My husband just went on a trip and was gone for 2 weeks, and I cannot sleep at night if he's not in the room, or if I need to have something there to help me. And so what I've done is I let the dog sleep in the room. When the dog's in the room, I'm not hypervigilant. I'm not thinking something's going to happen. I'm not as fearful. Hypervigilance is very common. Flashbacks all of a sudden something might trigger a memory. It might be a scent. It might be the way someone appears. Maybe they're somebody who looks like somebody who might have traumatized you at some point. There are a variety of different things and triggers that can cause people to almost re-experience their previous trauma. And these triggers are really oftentimes predictable, re-experiencing what you already had experienced. There are a lot of nightmares associated with PTSD, a lot of sleepless nights, insomnia, irregular sleep patterns. There can be rage associated with it because the brain is operating more from the back area of the brain. It has been so flooded with cortisol and the hormones that keep you on alert that your brain hasn't learned to settle down. And so that's what needs to happen. It needs to be taught how to settle down. It needs to be taught how to work from the prefrontal cortex, the front area of the brain, more where emotions are regulated than in just the response reactions that are in the back of the brain. But that is a direct result of having experienced trauma. These are very common symptoms for people who have PTSD. There are a lot of other very specific characteristics and symptoms. And people can find that information if they Google PTSD symptoms or go to a veteran's website. Those things will be listed for them.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of resources out there, Tammy. And I like the fact that you brought up that there is actually a chemical change in the brain.
Yes.
As far as what you talked about with the over flooding of cortisol and all these things, that it's not something that you can just kind of psych yourself, I don't know if that's the appropriate word, into saying, oh, I'm not going to think about this anymore. I mean, it becomes an actual chemical change, just like a chemical change occurs in a person who has diabetes or whatever. It's not something that you can necessarily just with your thought processes control. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And yeah, you're right. I mean, that's where things like therapy become so important, because there are particular kinds of therapy that will help the brain learn to self-regulate. And self-talk is really important, but you have to learn how to do it, because they're in imaging people who have PTSD and those who don't, you can see the differences of activity in specific areas of the brain. And not only will the brain change in just the level of chemicals, but sizes of particular areas of the brain structure are altered. So
yeah.
It's truly a response that somebody cannot, you have to be taught, and you have to teach your body to relearn its responses. And it takes a lot of work, but it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but I do have a history in the mental health field myself. I was a registered nurse who worked at a psych VA for many years.
Hmm.
And then I went to work for a residential child care psychiatric facility for a few years after that. So what you're talking about is very familiar to me, but I know it's not familiar to a lot of our audience members, and that's why I'm kind of trying to clarify things. But yeah, we talked a lot out at the Colorado Boys Ranch where I worked about how for the longest time they thought that PTSD was just related to war situations and that kind of thing. And then when these kids started coming to these facilities with all of this horrible trauma that had happened to them, they began to realize that, well, they have experienced sufficient trauma to where it's just as much effective. It's affecting them just as much as it is our soldiers that experienced different things. So, yeah. And
right.
And yeah, when you mentioned the DSM-3, oh yeah, I remember that big old book that we had in our office all the time, you know, so I was quite familiar with it. But a lot of the people that we're talking to in our audience today are not. So I appreciate your kind of laying that out for us.
My pleasure.
Well, you talked about the help that can be received for people who are PTSD victims. And I wonder if you would incorporate medications into that as well, because I know we had some of our people were on meds that helped them with that as well. And I don't know if you deal in that at all.
Well, I know that with evangelical circles, there can be pill shaming. And I know that for some people that may be a decision that can be very challenging, but I look at it in the same way, Patty, you mentioned diabetes. And I really believe that when your body chemistry does not have the feel-good chemicals like dopamine that really requires, then if you have the capacity to take an SSRI, or which is for anxiety and depression, or some other medication that can help with that balance and make life contribute to making your life manageable for you and the people you love, then
right.
I think it is absolutely worth considering. I highly recommend that as part of treatment, at least for a time, under the direction of somebody who's a strong biblical counselor,
yes.
who has a background in trauma, who really knows what they're doing. And there are a lot of different kinds of help. And for me, this journey has taken me a while, but help has come in different ways at different times. So I've used, gone to counselors for just cognitive therapy, just talk therapy. And that for a time, that was helpful to me. It was as though God peeled back just a little bit at a time for me to be able to deal with. And then when I got to that therapy, I felt pretty good for a while. And then later I would deal with some more PTSD symptoms that I go, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And so
mm-hmm.
I have been to therapists who have done EMDR. EMDR is a great tool. It's got a lot of research backing up its effectiveness for over 50% of the people who have used it to help with PTSD. And that's a long acronym for eye movement desensitization. Oh, I always get that wrong. Realization, I think is what it is. And what you're doing is pressing the midline of the brain, but there's not a lot of talking. And so you're not really re-experiencing the trauma, but you're stepping back from the trauma events and evaluating them and allowing the brain to create new pathways.
Yes.
And so that's a very helpful sort of therapy. There are others as well. I've done a lot of, I've had a therapist who I worked with for a couple years who prayed with me. It was very much a prayer ministry and counseling combined. So it's just, you have to explore the different people that you're willing to meet with, interview potential counselors, and learn about the different kinds of therapy. What are you comfortable with right now? Because you have to be comfortable with a person and feel safe with them in order to begin to heal. And if you're experiencing PTSD symptoms, that means your body is trying to tell you, I need to heal from this, and probably ready. You just have to be willing to step into it, even though it's really challenging and very hard to do. But there are lots of therapies, and you can Google that too.
Sure.
But again, you want to make sure it's somebody who's a licensed therapist with a lot of experience in the trauma field.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned EMDR, Tammy. There was a lady I had on the show quite a while back who had experienced severe trauma when she was a very young child and had absolutely no memory of it.
Mm-hmm.
And She was taken through EMDR, and oh my goodness, her story was quite fascinating. And I can't remember how long ago she was on the show, but it was very interesting. I agree with you. I'll share a little bit of my own experience. After my dad passed away, I went back there and spent the 2 weeks before his death with him and my mom, and things were not good. My mom was just absolutely terrified of the thought of being left without him, and there was just a lot of dynamics going on there, and he died at home. And after I got back out here to work, I thought I was doing fine until one day I walked into work. And once again, like I said, I was working in a psychiatric facility, and I sat down to our daily report and I burst into tears. And the staff told me, they said, "We've seen this coming." Well, I hadn't seen it coming at all, that I was experiencing so much depression. And I went and I saw we had a counselor on station that worked with me, but she said, "I want you to see someone on the outside." And I went and saw him, and he wanted me to see my family physician for some medication. And I had known my doctor for years, and I said, "I'm not taking this stuff. I've been giving it to people for years. I'm not taking it." You know, he said,
"Right."
"Listen." He said, "You know," he said, "your thinking is clouded right now, but," he said, "you know that serotonin level is very low, and you've got to bring it back up with chemical agents, with medication." So he finally talked me into it. I only needed it for about 2 months, along with that and the therapy that I went through to kind of work out some of the issues that I had been dealing with. But yeah, once you get those chemical changes, you just have to do something to bring them back. And then you have to back that up with some really good therapy. So yes, I'm glad that you shared that with us, Tammy, and it's very important to find somebody that you can work with, and hopefully, if you're a Christian, is going to help you through that through a Christian worldview.
Right, absolutely. And you know, you need to feel safe. That's a really key component.
Definitely.
I was thinking about what you said about memory, and it's very common for people who have experienced traumatic events, people with PTSD, to have some memory loss. For me, it's almost like I have snapshots of the past, but I have huge chunks of time that are missing and still missing, even after years of therapy. And I really feel like in some ways that's God's way of protecting us from something we were not able to handle at the time. And that's also related to all of those chemicals. It's just, even when we get stressed out, right, our memory and our ability to focus and really, really is impacted. So if you're experiencing trauma, it's most definitely going to be an issue for people.
Most definitely. Well, Tammy, we're about halfway through our show here. And at this time, I kind of like to do what I call a little station identification thing, if you will. We have people that come into the show after it has started and may not know what they're listening to. So again, listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light. And my guest today is Tammy Kennington. Tammy is a writer and a speaker and a child abuse awareness advocate. As those who have been listening to the first part of the show can attest to, Tammy is very well versed in information about what they call ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. I finally made the connection what that means. She's been working with this for a number of years. She has written for several different magazines. She also has a book out that folks might want to look up. If you would like to have further contact with Tammy, you need to go to my website, which is PattySheen.com. There you will find this show listed. And under more information, the more information tab, you will find links to Tammy's blog, which, by the way, is excellent. I've been to your blog a couple of times, Tammy, and you have some really great posts up there. And Tammy's also on Facebook and on Twitter, and on Pinterest. If you would like to, and I will also put the link to your book, which is entitled Moving from Pain to Peace, A Journey Toward Hope When the Past Holds You Captive. I love that title. I will also put up the link, the Amazon link to that book. We'll talk in a little while, too, about the fact that Tammy has another book in progress. And if you would like to listen to the show again, of course, it is on archive, so refer it to your friends or your family, which we would love to have you do. And also on that website, pattysheen.com, you will find links to all of the shows that have been recorded to date. So with that, we will get back to our interview with Tammy. Tammy, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to share their dark times and how they found their way back to light. You've already shared with us that that you began your walk with Jesus at a very young age. And even though once we meet Jesus, we do walk in the light, we do find ourselves thrown into shadows and times of darkness. So could you tell us, maybe share with us a dark time and how you dealt with that dark time and found your way back to light?
Yes, I would say one of the darkest times of my life, Patty, was when I learned of somebody who is very close to me who had suffered abuse. It was very triggered by this discovery. And at that time, my response was one of anger towards God. I was so angry with him for allowing a child who I cared about to be hurt in the same way that I had been. And
yes.
It rocked my world. I wasn't sure if I wanted to even have a faith anymore or if I did have a faith. And God was good to me. He was gracious to me. And he was faithful to me even when I was so angry and was blaming him for the wrong that had been done because we had an enemy. And that enemy to kill, steal, and destroy, and we know he's the great deceiver. And it took some time. It took a couple of years for me really to work through what that was like and to realize that as much as God loves his children and weeps when they are in pain and hurting and when they are abused or traumatized, we have an enemy who does as much work as he can on this side of heaven to ruin those lives. And so I really had to come to terms with the juxtaposition of God's great love and his grace and his mercy and his power and try to wrap my mind around the reality of an enemy. And that took a lot of work. It was an act of will more than obedience for me to attend churches most Sundays for those couple of years. And I did it because I wanted my children to have faith and believe even when I was doubting. I think that's a common struggle too, that we're afraid to address because there is anger. We do become angry when we experience those kinds of traumas in our lives. And I had never voiced any anger towards God about having been angry that I had gone through that as a child. And I hadn't even addressed my anger towards my mom, who was the non-offending parent. But that was a really dark time, and it took a lot of prayer. This was when I was going to counsel, prayed with me every week, and God showed himself faithful through all of it and really gave me greater understanding of his love for his own children when they're hurting. I think that was one of the things I really came out having a greater understanding.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just happened to be looking this up as you were speaking, Tammy. I do our bulletins for our church every week.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have some interim pastors because we're searching for a pastor, which we hope will be resolved, as a matter of fact, this Sunday, because we're going to be hearing somebody speak. But anyway, what I was going to say is that there are times when you are so angry with God or you are so hurt that you just don't know how to get the words out to pray. And I really liked what our interim pastor sent us for our call to confession for this week. It says, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Spirit knows. When all we can muster are sighs and groans, the Spirit knows those also. Mm-hmm. When we feel that we aren't even worthy to approach God, the Spirit goes before us and with us, and God welcomes us with arms open. Mm-hmm. And as you were speaking, that just kind of came to mind that there are times when we have so many conflicting feelings that we don't even know how to express them, but we can always be confident that the Spirit knows how to do that for us. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful, Patty. And you know, we have a Jesus interceding on our behalf. So we have a prayer warrior standing there for us every day before the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's so true. Tammy, many of us grow up believing lies about ourselves. And in fact, as writers, we've probably seen this emphasized at writers' conferences. You need to know your character's lie. Many of us, we grow up through these lies, and it leads us to repetitive, negative internal dialogue. How does faith play a part in overcoming those lies, do you think?
Well, I think when we're soaking in the Word, God's going to reveal His truth to us. And God has written these are love letters written for us. These are stories of people just like us who've experienced trauma, loss, grief, suffering, heartache, joy. They've experienced all of those too. And if we're prayerfully seeking after Him and we're soaking in the Word, He's going to begin to reveal that truth to us. And, you know, one of my favorite stories actually is the story of Hagar, because she was an abused young woman. She was she was overlooked. She was unloved. She was unworthy. And God still came to her in the midst of her loss. And when she was wandering in a desert, a literal desert, but figuratively speaking as well, she didn't know Him. And He revealed Himself to her, and He said, I am El Rai, I am the God who sees. And He saw her. And that's how God is. And when we really meditate on His Word, let it soak into our hearts, we'll see how much He loves us. I think faith is actually one of the key resilience factors as well for people who have experienced trauma. In the ACEs studies, they talk about how faith is such an important and influential factor for people. And so this is from the secular world. If the secular world even recognizes this, how much can God do when we're seeking Him and trusting Him, even in the hard parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I have a couple of questions for you about parenting. If a person is poorly parented themselves, okay, how can they break that cycle when parenting their own children? Because we've heard that usually a person who comes from an abusive home is going to be an abusive parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That's true. But God, right? He is able to overcome and do more than we can possibly ask or imagine. And I am not an abusive parent, and I grew up in an abusive home. Mm-hmm. So by God's grace, I am thankful for that. That has nothing to do with me as a person. That has to do with Him. If it is a struggle, which for many people it will be, then seek help for that. Attend, go to classes that are in the community, love and logic courses, talk to pastors, counselors, read books about parenting from a healthy biblical parenting standpoint and worldview. And then, you know, step back. I was terrified that I would hurt my kids. I was terrified and thought of what ifs all the time. And I think that was the enemy wanting to taunt me. You know, really, that's when we take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't on my own do this parenting thing well. Nobody can, whether they were raised in an abusive home or not, because we all have some sort of dysfunctional problem. So we have to rely on Christ. We have to seek Him first. And then we have to go to people we trust who can maybe mentor us. If we're young moms, maybe we find someone who's more experienced, who can mentor us. And then we seek out tools. You know, I will tell my kids at times, Mom's going to take a time out because I need one. I'm feeling really angry and frustrated right now. I need a time out. And then ask for forgiveness, because we're going to mess up. But if you really are struggling with problems of maybe emotionally abusing children through yelling or certainly any other sort of abuse, then seek help. It can be broken. That cycle can be broken, and Christ is able to do it.
You have to have Christ as the center of the home to have success anyway, I believe.
Yes.
Well, here's another question for you that might be a little bit difficult to address, Tammy, but sadly in today's society is something that we need to address. You said your work in progress addresses the issue of child sexual abuse. How do we teach our children to be safe from this type of abuse when we read about incidents where even formerly safe members of society, teachers, clergy, etc., are exploiting children in this manner?
Oh, Patty, it's so heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
We can do our best as parents to provide them with safety. I mean, there are certain things we can do to protect our children. I started talking to our kiddos about people, you know, who, if they touched them funny and it made their tummy feel icky or they just didn't feel safe. Starting in really simple terms with very, very young children. I started talking about that to them when they were very young. You have to hope and pray. And I think there's more awareness now within churches, within schools, and those sorts of institutions. There needs to be sexual awareness training, sexual abuse awareness training, rather, within schools. And churches need to get very strong about their expectations that people adhere to, and really screening those people. The problem is that people who want to victimize children will find their victims, and
yes,
they go where children are. So you can, you know, I would say don't be in fear. Do your very best to protect your children, to teach them, to share age-appropriate information, pray over them, and be very judicious if you're going to allow any sort of sleepovers. And then I would ask, don't be afraid to ask your churches, your schools, your preschools, you know, how do you screen the people working in your nursery? How do you do that? And I think those are really key components. And then we need to encourage our churches. You know, there need to be ministries for people who have been abused, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual abuse. Let's stop just dusting, you know, pushing it under the rug. Let's stop doing that and deal with this. And let's take the enemy and let's let God do His work against the enemy in the church itself. So I think those are some really important steps to take, though, as far as parenting our children. With my kids, who my two youngest are young teens, we have watched Christian films about trafficking. So they have awareness, and they're not walking blind. And these were appropriate films, that aren't going to make them fearful of everything, but they will give them some level of wisdom.
Yes.
There are things you can do. Mm-hmm.
Well, they need to be ever vigilant of their surroundings.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So it's a terrible thing, but I'm grateful that God's bringing these things to light in some of the places where we most expect our children to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tammy, before we go, tell us a little bit about your speaking ministry. Who do you like to speak to, and when and where are you available, and what kind of topics do you like to speak about?
Sure. Well, I speak frequently to MOPS groups. I discuss topics about marriage and parenting. I also speak to women's groups specifically about overcoming trauma. One of my most popular topics is abandoned, unloved, and unworthy. And actually that's talking a lot about overcoming the lies we've believed and reminding women they're never alone in their struggles and that hope is a reality. I've spoken to small groups. I've spoken to large groups. I even speak to business groups. I have an event coming up in October in Denver, and we'll be speaking about having a safe place for people who have had traumatic backgrounds and how to help them feel safe. So I really want to minister to the hearts of women, equip other people to minister to women and children. And you know, men and boys have also been victimized. So really just giving people hope that they're not alone and that they can, through Christ, overcome a past and live a bright future.
Well, it sounds like you certainly have a heart for what you do, Tammy. I can tell that just by listening to you today, that you have a passion for this, and that's a wonderful thing. And sometimes I think, obviously, you experienced some traumatic events when you were a child, and perhaps that was God's way of preparing you for what you're doing today.
Yeah, Patty, I really think, you know, he can take the worst of our circumstances and use them for his glory.
I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Was there anything else you would like to share with us today before we close out the show, Tammy? Anything I didn't ask that you're thinking, oh, I really wanted to talk about that?
You know, I think we covered a lot, a wide range, but I'm always happy to, if there are questions, if people want to reach out to me, and I'm happy to pray with people individually or walk with them through their journey. So just that's an open invitation to them.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for that, Tammy, and thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It's been a blessing to have you here.
Thanks, Patty. I so appreciate the time to share.
And may God bless you in your ministry, and you have a wonderful week.
You too, Patty. Blessings.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Don't forget to go to pattysheen.com where you can listen to this show again. You can listen to all the shows that we have recorded so far. You can also find out more about Tammy. I really urge listeners to go to her website because she has some wonderful information and blog posts there. And also, I am going to pursue getting her book that she has out on Amazon. And like I said, I will give a link to that also on the website. Once again, that's Patty Sheen, PattySheene.com. And thank you so much for spending time with us, and we will see you next time.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit.